Troy Brewer, blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, welcome, welcome. On today's special podcast, I'm going to be taking you to my good friend, Brother Darren Stott from the Seattle Revival Center in Seattle, Washington, who after this year of 2020, I mean, he battled the government, he had to battle Antifa, he had to battle Wiccans and witches and all kinds of craziness, and he's still happy, he's still full of the Holy Spirit, he's still hopeful, he's still got a word from God, and he's going to bring it to you today, and I want to encourage you to get ready, just get ready, because this guy's been hanging out with me all week long. Yesterday, we had a tremendous meeting. We're about to do another meeting with all of my team where we just discovered we rescued 333 kids just in the month of January. And he's just kind of been hanging out in our world, breathing our air, and just going, okay, I want to see what's going on, because he's teachable like that. And not that he needs to learn anything from us. He has his own gig, and he's doing extraordinary work there in Seattle, and actually in the midst of such a demonic attack that has come against the body of Jesus in Seattle. He's going to share some of that. He's going to take you through the word, and I'll join you again at the end of this podcast. Here we go.
Hey guys, all right, a couple questions for you. You got some crazy things in your heart, some dreams, desires, things that God has placed in you. You've been waiting for a long time trying to make these dreams happen, but you've been frustrated. In fact, you got a little bit of that hope deferred going on. You're hoping that maybe, just maybe, this year, 2021, is your year to birth some kingdom realities on the earth. If that's you, if that's your desire for this year to do some really cool stuff with Jesus, then you're going to enjoy what we're talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about supernatural collaboration. That's right, supernatural collaboration. But I know what you're thinking. You're like, who is this guy? Who's talking? Wait a second. This isn't Pastor Troy. This guy sounds like a West Coaster. What's going on? Yep. My name is Darren Stott, lead pastor at a crazy, cool, amazing church called Seattle Revival Center. You can check us out online at seattlerevivalcenter.com. I'm the founder of Supernaturalist Ministries. Author of a book called Pattern Interrupt. You can check out all my gear at darrenstott.com. And we're having a good time in Seattle. I'm having a great time here in Burleson, Texas with Pastor Troy, Pastor Leanna. They're incredible, they're incredible team here at Open Door. It's been such a phenomenal week. I am learning so much, and I'm so blessed to get to share with you today an incredible golden key that I've found in my life, and it is this topic of supernatural collaboration. And again, I would like to invite you to share this with your friends and family, to get the link, to share it on your Facebook, because I believe that this is a word that's not just going to bring fruitfulness in your life, but it could potentially bring fruitfulness and breakthrough in the lives of your friends and family as well. All right, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a filmmaker. In fact, me and my friends, we would write these scripts, and we would get all of our friends together, and we would make these movies. And each month, we would release a film. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to do the Hollywood thing. And God had other plans for my life. He called me into ministry. My grandpa was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. I swore that I'd never be a pastor. Really didn't have a lot of desire to be a pastor, but God called me, and I am enjoying this incredible adventure with Jesus. But I tell you all that, in that when I was a kid, one of my favorite directors was Steven Spielberg. That is the director of Jaws and Jurassic Park and E.T., Steven Spielberg, a legend, right? Academy Award for Schindler's List. And this is a quote from Steven Spielberg. He said, When I was a kid, there was no collaboration. It's you with a camera, bossing your friends around. I can totally relate with Steven Spielberg in this quote. I love this quote. He continues, but as an adult, filmmaking is all about appreciating the talents of the people you surround yourself with, knowing you could never have made any of these films by yourself. So if you're listening to this right now and you had a dream and desire to do some really cool stuff on the earth, but there's no traction, there's no momentum, and you're wondering if this is your year to really actually do some cool things with Jesus, perhaps it's because you've been facing this villain, this thing that keeps robbing you of your passion, your dreams, and any sort of momentum. And the villain is the villain of isolation. Now, for myself, I've often felt like, man, if you got a job worth doing, it's worth doing right, and it's worth doing by yourself. Because ultimately, you can't really trust people with your dreams, right? Because what can they really match? Can they really meet that level of quality and excellence that your dream deserves? So for myself, in order to guard the quality of my dream, I have tended to not share my dreams with others. In fact, I've tended to kind of go after these things alone. But one of the things that I'm realizing is that in the kingdom of God, if it's worth birthing, if it's worth doing, it's almost as if the Lord will not allow us to do it unless it's in the context of community and collaboration. Kingdom creation requires collaboration. And we see this laid out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we see here in this Genesis account, we see that God says, this is worth doing, and we are going to do it together in this holy community, in this Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit say, let us do this brilliant and amazing thing. Listen now, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing within the context of community, because they're the kind of things that God wants to create on the earth, and it's impossible to manifest them in isolation. Again, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing together. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, Paul writes, he says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually one of another, having gifts that are different according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We see that Paul's trying to explain the necessity of partnership, collaboration, synchronization within the church. And he successfully accomplishes this by comparing the church to the human body. And in doing so, he created this new innovative schematic for pioneering tribes and organizations. In the West, corporations have tended to be modeled like machines, a complicated system of cogs and sprockets that are all linked together. But a human body is nothing like a machine. We're not metal and screws, and our cells and systems are not easily discernible, nor are they easily replaceable. Our bodies function because of a complicated collaboration of unique quantum systems that are subconsciously organized and held together in perfect unity by the relationship that exists between our head and our heart. Modern day organizations are becoming less institutional and more organism-like. In fact, as of February 1st, 2018, Amazon, you know, a company in Seattle, just in case you haven't heard of Amazon, boasted of employing more than 560,000 people. The old hierarchy-based business model could not sustain such an organization. Unfortunately, as the church is shifting from hardly operational to systematically operational, meanwhile, in the marketplace, pioneers are changing their operation mindset from working as merely an organization to thriving and multiplying like an organism. Mutual interdependency is replacing this independent spirit, and trust is now becoming the foundation by which commerce is now achieving unprecedented returns. The biblical values of communication and community creation, these are the vehicles by which cultures of innovation are taking businesses farther and faster than any solo entrepreneur could ever engineer. Now, if we're going to begin to carve out new kingdom realms on the earth, we can't think small anymore. We can't think just like merely isolated individuals. We must start thinking big and body-like. We must start thinking corporate. The kingdom of God is bigger than our race. It's bigger than our revival style. It's bigger than our worship preferences. It's bigger than our local church. It's even bigger, believe it or not, than America. If we're going to be a part of what the Father is doing, then we're going to have to let down our walls, and we're going to need to begin trusting others. In all of human history, never has the world been so in reach. This is not only a time of technological revolution for the church. We are in a revelation awakening. The only thing that's going to keep the knowledge of the glory of the Lord from covering the fabric of the earth is if the bride of Christ continues to be an isolated introvert. If we disappear as individuals, if we hide away our gospel-centered communities, then surely our dim flame will not be seen by cities and nations. We are living in a revelation revolution. Don't let this window of opportunity pass you by. In September of 2018, I found myself with Anthony Revisto, one of my best friends and closest partners in ministry, and we were dreaming and strategizing and discussing the future of Seattle Revival Center. And in 3 months' time, we had organized our administration framework and introduced a new format of weekly staff meetings that would include more of the team and center our production upon a foundation of trust and relationship. And Anthony would tell me the truth. He'd ask me these big questions. And he'd gently disable incomplete and premature ideas that I was trying to pitch. Anthony would also appropriately undergird and strengthen other ideas where succeeding was a possibility. My relationship with Anthony revived my passion for pastoring. And this is where you might find yourself saying, I need an Anthony in my life. I wonder what his gift mix is. I wonder if Anthony would quit SRC and join my leadership team. The answer is no, he's not for sale. Anthony's mine, not yours. So now let's just pause the conversation for a second. What we're not talking about is fivefold ministry. We're not talking about a DISC personality profile or a strength finder. What we're talking about is trust. And that's the special sauce. That's that place where we are actually willing to open up our hearts to others. When we can begin to truly trust each other and to submit our ideas and our dreams and our opinions to the critique and comments and questions of others. And when we do this, a divine synergy begins to manifest and new portals begin to open up in the Spirit. And this is what David was referring to in Psalm 133 when he says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard. On the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, where there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This supernatural collaboration didn't just happen overnight. It took Anthony and I about 2 years of working together before we finally started to really work together. And that wasn't Anthony's fault. See, transitions are normal. And without realizing it, I had engineered my life in such a way that people could transition in and out of my life without interfering with my personal momentum. Isn't that nice of me? You see, I have tended to be a pretty independent leader, and I've had difficulty knowing how to let people close enough so that they could see how I think. And to be honest, my schedule in 2016, 2017, it was so intense that I didn't allow myself a whole lot of extra bandwidth for relationships. So here's Anthony, and he was a very capable leader that I had empowered him to manage, but his heart was longing to lead. And in order for that to happen, I'd have to be able to trust him. I'd have to be able to let him in. And that's what happened in the fall of 2018. Anthony had the courage to begin speaking to me about the reality of our church culture and vision, and his insight, his passion, and his ideas, they deserved honor. And his consistency of character warranted a key to my heart. So I let him in. For the first time in a long time, I was dreaming again. The details, the systems, all the potential, it began to matter again because I was no longer dreaming alone. Collaboration, it lit a new passion within me. And not only that, but it opened up love bandwidth. I could now see where my heart had been closed to others in the past. I could admit the mistakes that I had made. I could finally see how closed up I was. True collaboration requires a freakish amount of trust. To take what is closest to you, your vision for the future, and to allow people to speak into it, to add to it, to strengthen it, even if it feels like people are criticizing it. Remaining open is incredibly hard, and yet it is incredibly rewarding. I have done good things, but they could have been great things if I had let other people run with me. At the end of 2015, the Lord spoke to me. This is a while back. And one of the things they said to me is, he said, "Darren, you're doing local church well, but I've called you to be a revival center." Right? And that makes sense since our church is called Seattle Revival Center, right? Well, we began 2016 by retreating together as a board of directors, a board of elders. And our objective was to communicate and, you guessed it, collaborate so that we could have agreement and perhaps a new revival blueprint for our community. Within 2 months, the plans that we had made were basically thrown out of the window as an acceleration of awakening had thrusted us up into warp speed. However, the time that we invested sharing and dreaming and connecting, the time that we had together, really bonding at that retreat, those were the ingredients needed in order for us to be able to extend from what was supposed to have been just a 3-day conference into 5 weeks of extended meetings every single night, and then actually continued for 2 additional years with every weekend basically hosting a conference. Listen, if we're going to create locations on the earth where heaven can come and be released, if we're going to be what my good friend Robert Hoshin calls a dominion stewards on the earth, we will need environments where we can connect and collaborate. And for this reason, retreating together, getting together with my friends, dreaming together, this is a major part of our wineskin in Seattle. I was installed as lead pastor when I was 27 years old at Sierra Vial Center. This would have been back in 2009. And in 2010, our board of elders learned of an accounting oversight that would put us into a significant deficit at the end of the year. And at this point in time, we didn't have the reserves to carry the difference. And with the uncertainty associated with transition, with me just coming in, we all agreed to take immediate action. Part of our strategy involved cutbacks in our salaries and hours for our staff. And we would communicate directly with our body, informing them of the problem and our plan and action to address it. I didn't ask the people to give more money. Instead, I thanked them for their generosity. I blessed them. And I invited them into the problem. And together, we sought the Lord for the wisdom that we needed to navigate through that financial crisis as a church community. But at the time, we also used this crisis as an opportunity to evaluate all of our finances. A friend of mine who's an accountant and conducts huge audits for big, massive 501c3s, he came in and pro bono reviewed all of our financial statements and records. He made a list of recommendations and changes, ways that we could save money. And with wisdom and sacrifice and communication, the Lord stepped in. In fact, we not only made budget that year, but we exceeded it. And there was no looking back. This is just one testimony of an opportunity birthed out of crisis. And this is what I've learned time and time again, that crisis is an opportunity to invite people into our lives, to invite people into our fears, to invite people into our drama, and to reject this notion that just because we're in trouble, that we must, just because it appears as though we have failed, that we must therefore be some sort of failure, that we reject this lie, that we have to isolate and figure things out on our own, that the last thing we could ever do is ask for help. And for everybody listening, this is one of the biggest lessons that I have learned, is that crisis is just an opportunity for community and supernatural collaboration. We needed that crisis as a church body because there were things in our finances, things that needed to be adjusted. There were patterns that we hadn't noticed because when everything's going well, we tend to just let things go as they will. But the Lord used this crisis for us to come together as a community to begin collaborating to address things within our foundation because the Lord wanted to build something and it had to be done on a good foundation. Collaboration is an opportunity to address your foundation so what the Lord can build will actually last. It's impossible for us to partner with what Jesus is doing on the earth without developing a relational culture that values and practices deliberate communication and collaboration. Without these ingredients, the trust required to sustain revival and sustainable kingdom dynamics will not be available. The health of our gatherings are contingent on the honesty and vulnerability of our leadership. And on this leadership culture that is contained within the foundation. The Spirit of truth must be our ally. Communication and collaboration without honesty is a waste of time. We need to guard our hearts from engaging in any form of kingdom building that involves partnering with the political spirit or censorship that comes to get in our own way. If we're going to establish a work that is valuable, if we're going to birth really cool stuff on the earth, then we must be a people of conviction that clearly define our objectives, our beliefs, and our values. As we covenant to create healthy environments where communication, supernatural collaboration can occur without being forced, I believe we will only begin to see more kingdom hubs on the earth, a people that are covenanted together to see this wilderness restored back to Eden. If we want to begin carving out these kingdom realms and unique expressions of the Father on the earth, then we will need to be able to articulate our relational convictions and expectations. And once clearly defined, we're going to need to resolve and be resolved in our willingness to actually fight for them. Simply stated, our commitment must be this. We refuse to do kingdom business outside of healthy relationships. Listen, I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to fear not. I want you to export your dreams. I want you to share what's in your heart with people that you love and trust. If you're in danger, if things are not looking good, if your trajectory is not positive, I need for you to reach out to someone and say, hey, I need help. I need wisdom. I need community around me. If you're willing to be honest, if you're willing to be truthful, the Lord will honor you. And he'll bring you into a state and a status where you're not just surviving, but you can kiss that season goodbye. And you can come into a new season of thriving. And not just thriving in isolation, but thriving in the context of healthy, creative, kingdom-building community. And that's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person that is joining us today, and they have big kingdom dreams in their heart, but they have not seen the traction, they have not seen the momentum because they've been isolated and they have not spoken up regarding these things that you have spoken to them. Father, I thank you in 2021 that crisis is not just an opportunity to shame us, but crisis is an invitation to step into this realm of supernatural collaboration, where we invite people into our problem and we realize that this problem is filled with possibilities. Father, we celebrate your grace. We thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I break that spirit of condemnation right now and I declare great, great grace over you. I call you out of that place of isolation. I call you into that place of safe, healthy community and supernatural collaboration, all for the glory of God. And everybody said, awesome. Amen and amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out. We'll talk soon. Peace out.
Well, my friends, you knew the music was coming and you knew that this was going to happen. And here it is. Time is up. You've been listening to Pastor Darren Stott from the Seattle Revival Center in big time Seattle, Washington, down here joining us at Open Door Church. You know, he just preached here this last Wednesday. And I would encourage you guys to go to my Facebook page or go to my YouTube page and go back and watch last Wednesday's live service. Now, for all you guys who partner with me on a monthly basis, you know that you can go through every single video that we produce, every television show, every conference, including the brand new 2021 conference, the New Beginnings conference, all those videos and so many more for free, because we give you access if you partner with us to save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking. Just this last month, only in the month of January, we actually rescued 333 kids. Yeah, we've never had that big of a month ever. Friends, we are not slowing down. We're not messing up. We're not going to the side. I also want to say this to you as well, that the Spirit of the Lord is with you. And I know that there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of big mess. There's all kinds of craziness going on. But how can you be afraid if God Almighty is with you? Friends, I bless you and I call you blessed. If you need a friend or if you need a prayer, don't be afraid to call us at 877-413-0888. All right, my friends, until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye.